Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As I told you a while ago, it's been 7 years since I've done this. And in the 7 years, my eyesight has dwindled to where I now have to wear glasses. And I've never preached with glasses before, so this will be interesting also. But I'm the type of person that when my eyesight is only bad when I look at the words, and it's great when I look at you. So I have to do this thing. So you'll probably see a lot of that today, but that's okay. I prayed. Can I move around, or is that going to mess up what I need to do? I prayed because I won't stand up here, I promise you. I prayed Wednesday night. Pastor called me Wednesday. My daughter was sitting on the sofa. I told Pastor, I said, look, anything you need me to do, if it's with the kids, if it's with the grandkids, if it's with their job, if it's with the church, whatever you need me to do, you tell me. You know, when people are going through stuff, we always say, if you need me, call me. And then we don't know what to do. You know, if we need somebody to say, I need you to go to the store, pick up a loaf of bread for me. And how many of us will be glad to go pick up a loaf of bread? But a lot of times we don't know what to do because nobody. And I said, whatever you need me to do, you tell me to do. So Wednesday night, Stephanie's sitting there on the sofa, and we're just kind of sitting there enjoying our time together. And the phone rings. It's Pastor Don. He says, I'm going to ask you something, but I want you to do this. I don't want you to answer me. I want you to tell me tomorrow how you feel about it. And if you feel okay, then we'll go forward. I said, well, what could that be? And he said, I want to ask you to preach Sunday morning. And I went, oh. I said, okay, I'll tell you tomorrow. And I hung up the phone, and Stephanie said, what? And I said, well, he asked me to preach. She said, I'm going to church with you. And I said, well, I didn't answer that. She said, yes, you did. You said, anything you ask me to do, I'll do it. And I looked at her and I said, well, I need to know, Dad. I'm going to church with you. You're preaching Sunday. So out of the mouth of two witnesses, let a thing be established. Amen. So I'm thankful that my daughter is here, and I'm thankful that my soon-to-be daughter-in-law is here, and that my son is here. Amen. 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 I'm glad that they're here. And but anyway, so that was Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I woke up, and I heard this scripture. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I said, Lord, what's that all about? Because see, I love to teach about grace. I love to teach about the Holy Ghost. I love to teach about, what are the things that, faith. I love to teach about the Word. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord said to me, there's not anything that's on the inside of you that these people haven't already heard. He said, I want you to go and I want you to reiterate what the two pastors in this church have already spoken, but I want you to stir the people up. That's what the Word of God does for us. It stirs us up on that which is on the inside of us. He says, I want you to stir them up because today is a day of warfare. Obviously, the enemy doesn't like what's happening at Lamp Light Church. Obviously. And so he's going to come against any and every one of us, any and every way he can. But you see, you and I know something beyond what he thinks. The greater one is on the inside of us. And so I want to encourage us today with the Word of God. And I want to encourage us about the weapons of our warfare. I asked Jackie to make some copies of this sermon. I actually got up thinking or went to bed thinking, you know, since Pastor Donna and Michelle are going through everything they're going through, I'm going to do this sermon that I did years ago called Effective Praying for the Pastor. And I just knew that that's what I would speak this morning. We would gather together and we would agree and we'd be praying for them. And then I sat down and I began to pull scriptures together and pray in the Spirit and listen to some worship music and do all the things that I know that'll stir me to hear the voice of God. And as I began to do that, I began writing notes that I thought was going to be an introduction to this sermon. And then we could just go right into this. And when I got through, I looked at my notes and said, that's a whole sermon in itself. So I made copies of the Effective Praying for Your Pastor sermon for you guys. And you can get a copy of this before you leave. Make sure you don't leave without it. And there's scriptures, there's how to pray for the pastor in his relationship to God, how to pray for the pastor in relationship to his family, and how to pray for the pastor in relationship to his ministry. So you make sure you get this and take it. Read these scriptures and take each point and pray. Because today I'm going to stir us in being able to stand in the gap and understand how to be intercessors for what God's doing in our midst. Since I've been coming here, there's been a change in the air. There's been a change in the spirit. There's been a change in the people that are coming in. I don't know how it was before I came here. All I know that I've watched every week, there's been a progression and a growth and an obvious larger move of the spirit, if that's a good way to put that. And as we were praising and as we were worshiping the Lord, and as all this was going on, I went, Lord, you've already confirmed what I said. I wish I'd have got up and preached before we had worship this morning, because then we'd probably worshiped and just worshiped our ways to heaven and ushered in the second coming of Jesus and all that kind of good stuff, because it was just that good. But I want to read right now 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to start out with the Amplified version. This is verses 3 through 5. It says this: for though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh, using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal weapons of the flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. What's that simply saying? And I don't want to mess up and not get to what I need to say here. But what that's saying is, church, we don't fight like the world fights. We don't fight like the world fights. As a Christian, it is our duty to understand, I don't fight like the world fights. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, it is not my place to respond like a heathen. Lord, Mike, you're preaching to yourself. If someone responds to us in a restaurant in a way that we don't think is very nice, it's not our place to respond the way they responded back to them. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh and blood. Our weapons are different. Our weapons are different. And we're supposed to respond according to the life of the Spirit that's on the inside of us. And the Word tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Get this one. Long-suffering, meekness, patience, temperance. And then it goes on to say, and against these things, there's no law. Do you know when we respond in that, there's not nothing that can defeat that? When we respond by the Spirit, I didn't know I was going to say this, but this is good preaching. When we respond by the Spirit, then it releases in the atmosphere the very Spirit of God. And against that, nothing else can defeat it. You see, it's much funner to our flesh if somebody treats us wrong or does us wrong or speaks to us wrong or whatever. It's much more fun in the flesh to say, you get in my face, I get in your face. You speak to me like that, I'm going to speak to you like that. But church, that fun only lasts for just a few minutes. Because when we react by the Spirit, guess what? We are crucifying my flesh. And we were responding like the Spirit of God. And we're releasing the power of God, not only on their behalf, but on my behalf.
And we need it.
This boy especially. Amen. So he says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now let me read that. It's real much shorter out of the Message, because this is so precious. The world is unprincipled. Amen. It's dog eat dog out there. It is. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Some of us are saying, boy, I haven't been. Listen to this. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. But they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Listen to this last sentence. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction, this is it, and building our lives of obedience unto maturity. Building our lives of obedience into maturity. It's all about growing up. You see, when I react wrong, when I respond like the world, when I give back what's given to me in the wrong way, not in a good way, in the wrong way, what I'm exposing is my immaturity. I'm exposing my uncrucified aspect that I haven't laid down on the cross. I'm exposing that which is in me that's not quite like him. But you see, when I respond in obedience to the way God's called me to respond, then I'm exposing maturity. Not so I can boast, so that I can bless him. Not so that I can be proud, but so that I can look to him and say, thank you, Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. And I choose to lay down my rights to be right. My rights to be served. My rights to be acknowledged, or my rights to be whatever. And I lay it all down, Lord. And I choose to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me say this to you. Again, there's nothing that I'm saying new today that you've not already heard. But I want to put us in remembrance of a few things and stir us up with the Word of God. You see, we are under attack. And it's not a new thing, but I believe this. There's been an increase in attack. There's been a greater onslaught in attack. And there's been a new level of attack. Why? Because there's been an increase in the Spirit. There's been a greater onslaught in our worship. There's been a new level in where we are as a church. And the enemy doesn't like it. So he says, I'm going to do what I can. Now, we can look at the past couple of weeks and we can say, man, there's been some really bad things. And what's happening? And why are good things, why are bad things happening to good people? We can say all these things. And, you know, the enemy would love for us to start rehearsing the bad so that we won't get in faith. And we won't begin to speak the word. And we'll stand in worship and say, well, I can't worship like them. I've had a bad week. I can't enter into that praise and worship. I mean, they don't know what I've been through. When you see, when you enter in that praise and worship, it breaks the binds of what you've been into. It breaks the power of what the enemy's been trying to do to you. It breaks the ability of the enemy to continue to do that to you and to me when we enter in. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I really want to. Okay, let me get... I got it here. This is the New King James. Oh, let me say this before I say that. I believe the attack is coming this way. Number one, the attack is coming against the body of Christ as a whole. And when we understand the weapons of our warfare, you and I need to be very, very aware that when we begin to battle, and I'm going to give us some understanding of ways we battle, and y'all gonna love this. But when we begin to battle, we've got to remember my battle's for the body of Christ. You know, people speak real negative things about the church because the enemy wants people to hate the church. You know, some people say to me, "Well, I don't go to church. The church, and the church is full of nothing but hypocrites." How many times have we heard that? And I prayed one time, and I said, "Lord, give me an answer for that phrase." And this is what the Spirit of the Lord said to me to say. When people say that to me, he said, well, tell me something. If the church is full of hypocrites, where is the best place for those people to be in order to get change? where would be another place that they could go that they could get change greater than the church? So let the church be filled with hypocrites. So the word of God can go in and the spiritual warfare has been done. And the spirit of God is released and people will be affected and change will happen. So let the hypocrites come. It's the place to be. I said, well, I hope so. Because if they're all perfect, guess what? We may as well go and be with Jesus. Our work is over. But how many know there's a bunch of people driving up and down Independence Boulevard right now that need Jesus? And if Jesus were coming, church, there's nobody that wants Him to come any more than I do. But that's selfish. There's thousands and millions of people who've not yet confessed the name of Jesus. So we can't get in a hurry to go on. As much as I'd like to. I got a little brother in heaven and I want to see his face so bad. I just want to see his face. But guess what? I'm going to get to. That time's coming. And I'm getting to see his face. As a matter of fact, right before he died, he was laying in the bed. And the cancer had blinded him and he couldn't see. And we were laying there and he said, Mike, do you see the door at the end of my bed? And I said, no, Gary, I don't see it, but I don't doubt that you do. He said, what do you think's behind that door? I said, you know what, Gary? I believe when you step through that door, there's no more cancer. There's no more blindness. There's no more sickness. There's no more worry. There's no more junk. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. It's one of those things that didn't come out of here. It came from here. And I heard it as I spoke it to him. And I said, oh, yeah, Gary. And remember this. In heaven, there's no such thing as time. So look over your shoulder. We're right behind you. And he smiled. He said, okay. I'm watching. And you know what? That released him and it released me. And about 2 days later, he went on to be with Jesus. It is what it is. We'll be there in good timing. But right now, there's something for us to do here. Amen. Okay. In the New King James, this is what 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says. Can you tell I'm just a little bit nervous? But that's okay. It's probably good for me. This is what it says in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when obedience is fulfilled. See, obedience is a weapon of our warfare. When we begin to obey the word over obeying my flesh, it releases the Spirit of God. Now, I want to give us three weapons of our warfare this morning that I want us to think about. And if you're taking notes, this is a good thing. If you don't write down anything else and you get these three, then you've got something. We've got something to go home and think about this week. Three weapons of our warfare. And we might get on number two and have to get prayer some other day. I don't know the last one some other day because I'm telling you, we did it today. Number one, a weapon of our warfare is the Word of God. When Jesus was being tempted, every time the enemy said something to him, what did Jesus say? It is written. And see, when the enemy has to come against what this says, he's got no power. When... Now, this book in and of itself is really not worth the money I had to pay for it. It was expensive. And I know that it was marked up. But I love the book. But this book in and of itself is just paper and leather. That's all it is. The words in this book have no power whatsoever until they become alive on the inside of you and me. And those words, the words in that book, can't do a thing until they're released by our tongue. They cannot do a thing. There's no power to them. They're just words. Now you say, you know, Brother Mike, you're really speaking bad against the Bible. No, I'm not. I'm telling us the way it has to be. Because you see, the words of that book are the weapon of our warfare. When the enemy says to you, you're not going to make it. When the enemy says to you, you may as well just give up. When the enemy says to you, you're not going to succeed. When the enemy says to you, you're going to lose everything you got. And then all of a sudden you get still and you get quiet because you know on the inside of you there's something bigger than his words. And you begin to hear this word, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know, I can remember when there was a time in my life that those words were something I struggled with. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It doesn't seem that way. It doesn't look that way. My bank account doesn't say that. My body's not saying that. My relationships are not saying that. But God's word says that. Now, Pastor alluded to this one day. He and I had a long discussion. I work with him every day, so we get to talk about great spiritual things, and I love it. But we were talking one day, and I shared with him this little phrase, and then we began to talk about it. It's becoming greater and greater revelation the more we talk about it. That there is a difference between fact and truth. There is a difference between fact and truth. Jesus said, Father, he said this in John, he said, Father, sanctify them. Set them apart, mature them by your truth. Then he said this, your word is truth. Now you and I deal with facts every day. But what we've got to do is not let facts speak to us, but let the word speak to us. Fact says, I ain't got enough money to make it into the month. Word says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The fact says I'm not going to make it. The fact says I'm in trouble. The fact says I can't pay my bills. But the word says my God shall supply. So see, I got to get my mind off the fact and get my mind on the word, which is the weapon of my warfare. And now some of us say, you know, Mike, I've tried that. That's when we're in that stage of saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know what I believe? Our God is such an awesome God. Every time we take one minute little step toward him, he floods toward us. And when we begin to take his word and we begin to mull it over in our mind, we begin to think about those words. We begin to speak those words. We begin to see those words. We begin to say those words. We begin to pray those words. Then they start going from a place of question to a place of, okay, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay. And then we begin to thank it, and we begin to pray it, and we begin to worship, and we begin to praise, and we begin to think those words, and we begin to think those words, and then we get to a point where we say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then we begin to think about it. We begin to mull it over. We begin to and see, it's becoming a weapon of our warfare. Till then one day we get to the mailbox and there's more bills than there is money. And then we look at that and we say, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So bills, just take that. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I know that my God's bigger than my bills. I know he is. And see, it becomes not just a thought, not just a question, not just a hope. It becomes a reality. Then it becomes a weapon of our warfare. You say, well, Brother Mike, I'm not there. Guess what? There's some areas I'm not there yet. But I'm telling you, in the last several years, I've been standing on that promise. God, it just seems like everything's gone. But you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you are my supplier. And I'm going to trust that even on the months I didn't have enough money. I'm still going to trust it. I'm still going to trust it. And I'm beginning to see God work miracles in my behalf. Oh, I started this while ago and I didn't finish. The warfare is for the body of Christ. The warfare is against our church family, Lamplight Church. So when we do our warfare, we're doing our warfare for the body of Christ. It's important to understand that my warfare is going forth for the family here. You know what, church? I know that our natural family is so important. And our natural family is one of the most conscientious things on our mind. We think, I think about my children. I love my children. I want to see my children succeed. I want to see my children come into all the things that God has for them. I want to see those things. But there are times when I don't see in the natural in my family, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my nieces, my nephews, my aunts, my uncles. I don't see encouragement in the things of God. But you see, when I come to the family at Lamplight, there's something there called the weapon of my warfare that is understood by the local body together that gives me courage to stand and believe in that area of my family. And that I'm not worried about where you're going to be here next Sunday or not. But I know that you're my sister in the Lord, and what God's doing in your life is able to be imparted into my life as we come together and we begin to worship and praise and move forward in what God's doing. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's good. Amen. And then the body of Christ, the church family, and then my family, my household. You see, a lot of us, we think our weapons of our warfare are only for me and mine. But you see, it's got to be for the body of Christ, and it's got to be for the church. And then there comes a place that we begin to understand my household comes submitted to the move of God in the body of Christ and in the church. And I'm not saying the church is more important than your family. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in the weapons of our warfare, we got to see that there's an onslaught against the body of Christ. There's an onslaught against Lamplight Church. There's an onslaught against my family. And I got to stand in the gap. And then last but not least, I need to understand the weapons of my warfare in standing against what the enemy's trying to do to me. But if what I've learned is, if I'll stand in the gap for the body of Christ, if I'll stand in the gap for my pastor and the leaders and the church, if I'll stand in the gap for my children and my brother and my sister and their spouses and my mom and my dad, my aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews and in-laws and outlaws, if I'll stand in the gap for them, then I'll begin to see the power of God move. And you know what? There's less and less need for me to stand in the gap for me. Because I've learned a long time ago, what you sow, you reap. And when you stand in the gap for others, you find your own self being taken care of. Okay, the weapons of word. Number one, the word. That we know that as we speak the word, the word becomes a weapon of our warfare. And I wrote down just a couple of scriptures here. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I like this scripture. We've been made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. With God, all things are possible. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And remember this. Anytime the word comes to you and you go, well, I don't see that happening in this situation. Sometimes the enemy will use the word to try to confuse you. But you've got to understand this. Anytime the enemy speaks to the word to you, he's speaking to it out of context. One thing I've learned about the devil is he's a liar. There is no truth in him. So when he says to me, Samima, you're not going to make it, guess what? I know I'm going to make it because he can't tell the truth. And if he says I'm not going to make it, that's evidence I'm going to make it. If he says to you, you're going under, man, I can have a party. Because if he said to me, I'm going under, I'm going over. Hallelujah. If he says to me, you're going to lose everything. Hallelujah. It's all coming back. Glory to God. Whatever the enemy says to you, you can believe the opposite. Because he's the liar and the author of all lies. He doesn't even know the truth. That's why the truth has set us free. Because we begin to understand that old joker doesn't even know the truth, can't speak the truth. If he tries, he'd stumble. He can't speak the truth. So we can rejoice in the opposite of what he says. And when the word starts coming, when we start receiving the word and remembering the word and start knowing the word, then we can rejoice in God. Because he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Not me. Thank you, Lord. I'm not the author and the finisher of my faith. Every time I've tried to be, I mess it up. But if I trust in him, it makes all the difference. The word of God. is a weapon of our warfare. Say that with me.
The word of God is a weapon of our warfare.
One more time.
The word of God is a weapon of our warfare.
If you don't get anything else and you got that one, you got something to change your life this week. Number two. And I wrote an entire class for college on this subject. And I could preach on this from now till Jesus comes and love every second of it. Is that the second weapon of our warfare is praise and worship.
Have you ever stood there and said, gosh, this is going on so long. And I'm so tired. And you know, if they would just sing something a little bit different, I'd be happier. And you know, if those dancers wouldn't just go around and around like that, it would make me a little bit more comfortable. I mean, they're getting a little bit close to me. What am I going to do? And you start thinking, you know what that says to you? That you don't understand the weapon of your warfare of praise and worship. Because you see, what we do by the Spirit is eternal. And when you and I join together, I've told my children this for years. If the style of music hinders your worship is only performance. And that performance is just for you. If the style of music hinders your worship, if the acts of worship hinder your worship's not toward God. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. The church that I worshiped in Nashville, Tennessee, I was the music director at, had a little bit of country flavor. And there's a lot of people don't like country music. And I'm kind of one of them. I trained classically. I like classical music. I'm telling you, when I hear the Hallelujah chorus, I just want to rapture. It just does something on the inside of me. I love it. But I want you to know, I learned a long time ago, if the style of music hinders my worship, it's not worship. If the acts of worship hinder my worship, what I mean by acts is dancing, clapping. Do you know that in the Old Testament, there's even an actual place where God, that says that God twirls for you? That sometimes twirling is a place of worship. Some people don't like flags. Some people don't like banners. What are they doing all that for? Not for you. You see, our worship is for an audience of one. Our worship is not so that you can say, boy, that felt good. That, you know, that was so exciting. I liked that song. And the beat was great. And even as a white man, I got into it, you know, and it was just wonderful. But you see, I understand that when my sister plays that keyboard and she begins to sing unto the Lord, then I begin to stand where I stand and I begin to sing and the Spirit of God on the inside of me joins the Spirit of God on the inside of her. And then the Spirit of God on the inside of her joins the Spirit of God that's on the inside of her. And on him and her, and him and her, and him and her, and him and her, and those children and the dancers and the ones that are waving the flags and the ones that are waving the banners are the Spirit of God on the inside of me is joining together on the Spirit of God on in you. And guess what? It's releasing a greater measure of the power of God in our midst. That's why when we hear that scripture that says that God inhabits the praises of his people, that ought to be all we need to say, I don't care what it sounds like, I'm joining. I don't care what it looks like, I'm getting in here. Because I want what's on the inside of me to join with on the inside of you so that we can release the power of God for everybody in the room. And maybe there's somebody in the room back there and they're lost. They don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they begin to hear this music and they begin to hear this sound. And all of a sudden, because the power of God is released on behalf of all of us, the power of God is able to break through that hard core, that wall, that anger, that bitterness, that disappointment that's been on the inside of them. And we didn't even say a word yet. We're just singing. Yes. And the power of God breaks through that. And then that one says, oh, Jesus, you're what I need. And there's someone in the room that's been burdened, that's been heavy, that life has just beat them up this week. And you know what, church? There's sometimes when there's no faith I can find. But I get in the midst of the body of Christ, and they begin to worship, and they begin to praise, and I begin to feel an uplifting on the inside of me. And I'm able to lay my burdens down. And beginning to, as you said, I become in obedience to God, and I drop my gifts and my tithes and my offerings in there, and something releases. It's because I'm joining in with what God's doing across the body of Christ. And it's making a difference in me. It's a weapon of my warfare. That ought to make all the difference in the world in our worship. It's a weapon of our warfare. And if worship goes on for an hour and a half, you're going to find me maybe sitting down because my legs are tired, but I'm still going to jump in there. I'm going to give it all I got. There have been times I had to say, legs, you're not sitting down. I don't care what you think. You're going to stand here and you're going to worship. Hands, you're going to clap. Do you know, I believe, that when we clap together, look what happened in the book of Acts when the body of Christ got in one accord. One of the best ways for us to get in one accord is to clap together. It's a weapon of our warfare. Now, sometimes some of us have a real hard time with understanding where we clap. And when we start clapping, it's like this. And guess that? What? That doesn't bring unity. So you know what I do? And I did it today, and it worked. I looked up here, and I saw Teresa clapping. And I said, I can clap with her, Lord. And if nobody else claps with me and Teresa together, me and Teresa are in harmony, and the Spirit of God in her is released with the Spirit of God in me, and we're doing warfare in the heavenlies. And if you see you're clapping, you see you're clapping different from everybody else, just stop for a second and watch everybody, and then jump in there. Amen. Because you're clapping, believe it or not. It's a weapon of your warfare. It's praise and worship. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. There's a scripture that says, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Do you know that that's a part of warfare? I think when we shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, all hell trembles. And there's release of the Spirit of God. It's spiritual warfare. Got to watch my time. Spiritual warfare. Be very aware. He inhabits the praises of his people. Where two or more agree. I said this when they were all in one accord. Anytime you make a move toward God, he steps toward you. I said that already. And then in John, it says, he's seeking true worshipers. Now, when you see that scripture in John, it says, for the hour comes and now is. When the Father is seeking true worshipers, those that worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, when we began to praise and we began to lift our hands, we began to sing those songs, we began to dance, we began to clap, then we're being obedient to the Spirit and we're understanding what it is to worship in the Spirit. And then when we begin to sing the Word, guess what? We're beginning to sing the truth. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, mature them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's why I love Scripture songs. Anything that is, because we are getting in one accord, singing the Word of God, singing the truth, and by the Spirit. Last weapon of our warfare. First is the Word. Second is praise and worship. Say, praise and worship is a weapon of my warfare. Now let's see if we can't do that together. Here we go. Praise and worship is a weapon of our warfare. Do you know that agreement being spoken aloud does something in the heavenlies? Just what we did does something in the heavenlies. The last thing, and this is what goes along with this outline, the weapon of our warfare, and we could do a series on every one of these. The last one is prayer. Prayer is a weapon of your warfare. And you know, when you start looking at the Word, you start finding all these different kinds and ways of prayer. There's the prayer of petition. There's prayer of supplication. Jeremiah was a lamenting prayer. That's what the word says about him. There's the prayer of praise. There's the prayer of worship. There's the prayer of intercession. And there's the praying by the Spirit. If you want to know what I mean by that, I mean praying in tongues. Praying by the Spirit. I used to tell my children when they were growing up, I'd say, now before you take that test, you eat a candy bar and pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the sugar will jumpstart your brain and the Holy Ghost will tell you things you can't remember. That's what I told them, didn't I? I'd say, eat a candy bar and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Begin to stir up the gift of God. Jude verse 20 says, but you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The prayer of the Spirit. We know that the prayer of intercession, the word says that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit gives us utterances. I love that. I used to hang out with some Pentecostal people that used to tell me, well, you know, you can't pray in the Spirit till the Spirit falls on you. And I said, oh, the Spirit lives on the inside of me. I can pray in the Spirit when I want to, when I just give to it. I just give to it and I pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when I'm driving down Independence Boulevard, sometimes it's necessary to pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, and since I've been kind of single, or not kind of single, since I've been single and I fix something on the stove, it's necessary that I pray in the Holy Ghost before I eat that. But you see, prayer is a weapon of our warfare. I had a friend call me this week and he said, Mike, he said, I need you to help me. I said, what? He said, I don't know how to pray. And he said, my life's falling apart. And I don't know how. He said, I've never known how to pray. I said, talk to God just like you're talking to me. He said, don't I have to say some other things? I said, no. He's waiting for you just to look to him and begin to speak. That's all he's wanting. We get told all these formulas in these ways, and it's, oh, you got to say in the name of Jesus, and you got to do this. And y'all, God just wants to hear from you. I believe he's sitting on the end of his seat saying, come on, God, just talk to me, because I've got some things I want to give to you. What's your first name? When Angel was dancing, I believe this is what I heard, that the Spirit of the Lord said, that the interpretation of the dance is this. Watch and see what I will do in your midst. Watch and see as you begin to feel the hand of your God heavy in your midst. Watch and see as I release my power to take you beyond what you've known in the past and bring you into all that I have for you. I heard that standing right there. And I said, Lord, you're giving me an interpretation to a dance. He said, anything you do in the Spirit, I will do in your behalf. I will move in your behalf. So church, as she was obedient, she was doing warfare to release in our behalf the power of God to be heavy in our midst. What's our pastor been believing for? A physical manifestation of the Spirit of God. We're setting the atmosphere for God to do great mighty things. So prayer is a weapon of our warfare. Say that with me. Prayer is a weapon of our warfare. You see, the Word of God is a weapon of your warfare. Praise and worship is a weapon of your warfare. Isn't that something? I'm fighting and enjoying it. Isn't that something? I'm fighting and don't even realize that's what's happening. I like to. I don't listen to a lot of music because as a musician and raised as a musician, if I listen to tapes or if I listen to the radio or listen to songs, my brain starts picking it apart and I hear the pianos and I hear the guitars and I hear the parts and by the time I'm finished listening to the song, I'm wore out. So I've learned to just be still and just begin to sing. There's some great praise and worship music out there. I love to put praise and worship music in my CD player or my tape player or whatever it is I've got, and just begin to worship and to praise, begin to sing. And that way I don't think about what's going on. I just begin to get in agreement with what's being sang or what's being done. And I begin to just relax and just to sense and know the Spirit of God. But you see, church, we are under an onslaught. We are under an increased pressure from the enemy to stop what God is doing. And the reason he's doing it is there's been an increase in our midst of the Spirit of God. There's been an increase in our midst in praise and worship. I think there's even been an increase in our midst in the being able to join together with the Word of God that's being spoken. I'm telling you, I sit there sometimes and I think, God, that is so good. You know, and I just, yes. I write my notes and I take those things and I read them through the week and I write down, you know, what God's speaking through our pastor. And I hear those things and I'm meditating on the things. And, well, Lord, if you're saying that to him, then I know you're saying that to me. So I'm going to put myself in agreement. And we're going to see God do some awesome things. We're going to see God do some awesome things. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One more scripture and then we'll go home. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, when you read that, sometimes there's a tendency or there's a thought to say, you know, what is all that about? You know, there's some scary stuff out there. Don't get your eyes on the scary stuff. Get your eyes on the fact that you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't be moved by that stuff. Y'all, there's some devils and some demons out there. They've always been. There always will be. But we're not going to give them attention. We're going to put our attention on the fact that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And that weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God. Amen. Through God. Okay, let me finish this. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And here it is. "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer, praise and worship, the Word of God. It's weapons of our warfare. It's weapons of our warfare. Isn't it amazing how we can go for years and know those things and let them slide? And we can come in and say, "Oh, you know, I had a bad day yesterday, I had a bad week. I hope that praise and worship was short today, so I think we just get to the Word and get out of here." When we're missing the whole reason for why we do it. It's so that we can join the gift of God with the gift of God in you, and 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 so forth, and so on, and so forth. And guess what? There's enough power in here to shake the very walls and the very throne of hell. To bring change, to bring miracles, to do what needs to be done. Y'all, there's a lot of churches out there playing today. Have no clue. I think we have to be very, very careful not to get in judgment. Very, very careful. There's a lot of churches out there today that don't do what we do, but it doesn't mean they're not effective for the kingdom of God. But God's called us to do something a little different. He knew something about you. He could be a little bit different with you. He could be a little bit different with me. I trained in classical music, but you know what? I like getting down with God. And I can be in Tennessee and him and Hoff, that's what it takes.
I can, what is that dance that they do? I can shag for God. I can do the robot for God. Whatever I need to do. Whatever I need to go do. The Lord of the dance is here.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Whatever I need to do, I need to do it as unto the Lord.
That's right.
Joining with the body of Christ, knowing I'm enjoying myself, but it's a weapon of my warfare. And it does things in the heavenlies. Do you know, I believe personally, you say, well, where'd you get this? I just believe I got it in my prayer time, that every song sung by the Spirit of God is eternal. It's still out there. Every act of worship released by the Spirit of God, that my flesh is not involved. You see, there's a lot of people that worship. I went to a conference one time, and I was watching, I was just standing there, and people were worshiping. And I saw this person that was worshiping, and I was watching to see who was watching them worship.
Wow.
And it grieved my spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, they're getting their reward right now. But when we are not worshiping for others to see, but we're worshiping because we're joining in with the body of Christ, and we're worshiping to an audience of one, then there's something going on in the heavenlies, and I believe it's eternal. The dance you did by the Spirit is still going on. And it goes on through eternity, and it's doing something. The song we sing by the Spirit goes on. When you stood there, I can't see who's where. When you stood, she's not in here. When whoever was standing there and was speaking the word on the microphone, you were doing that too. But when what's your daughter's name? When Sandra was proclaiming the word of the Lord, do you know what? That's still going on. And it's breaking through the heavenlies. And sometimes when they break through, guess what? The Spirit of God goes, I'm going to pour down my grace. I'm going to pour down my healing. I'm going to pour down my provision. Because they prayed it through. And we didn't even realize that's what we were doing. We were just worshiping. We were just having a good time with Jesus. Wow. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And let me say this to you and encourage us in closing. Say this. If the only place you worship and praise is here. If the only place you speak the word of God is here. If the only place you pray is here. It's not doing anything. Because you see, my word, my worship, and my prayer is my lifestyle. And what I do here should just be a release of what I've been doing all week long. I worked for a boss one time in an advertising agency that lost a bunch of weight. I should take some thought to this. But he lost a bunch of weight. And I said to him, I said, Ray, what are you doing to lose weight? And he said, you don't want to hear. And I said, okay. And a week later, I said, Ray, what are you doing to lose all that weight? He said, you don't want to hear. And I said, okay. So what was it? I said, now I'm going to ask you one more time. And I'm asking you because I want to hear. What are you doing to lose all that weight? He said, you know, Mike, I get up at 5 in the morning. I go to the other end of the house away from my wife and children. He said, I put in a praise tape. And he said, I dance before God for an hour. He said, I just dance before the Lord. He said, God told me to do that. And he said, I had no idea I was going to drop all that weight. But he said, I didn't do it to drop the weight. I did it to honor and obey God. And it was a weapon of warfare. Amazing what God will use. He's looking for obedience. Obedience is a sign of maturity. Maturity is when it's obvious. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's all for Him. Amen. Let's stand. Make sure you get one of these outlines today. And I was going to do something else at the end of this, but we did it during praise and worship, so we don't have to do it at the end of this now. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone here. Lord, could we stand in the gap right now for our pastor? Could we stand in the gap for Michelle? Could we stand in the gap for the children and the grandchildren, and the moms and the dads? Could we stand in the gap right now? And by faith, can we speak that you are Lord?
In every situation, every circumstance, every onslaught, we speak the name of Jesus. We command the enemy to stop in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak to the onslaught of the enemy against our pastor, and we bring you down in the name of Jesus. We render you powerless by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We will not allow it to go on any further. We speak the releasing power of the healing balm of Gilead. God, flow by your Spirit. Touch them. Lord, there's no distance in the spirit realm. As much as you are here right now with us, you are right there right now with them. And we ask you, Lord, to explode your Spirit right there in their midst. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Be what they need in this hour. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Heal them. In Jesus' name. We stand in the gap. We lift them up, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that because of the power of the prayer of agreement, we thank you, Father, because of the unity of the saints, we thank you, Father, because you've called us together for such a time as this, that your power is released, has been released, and is doing a mighty work in their midst. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We honor you today. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so incredible. You're so awesome. We thank you for our pastor, Lord. We thank you for his wife. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've placed on the inside of them. We thank you, Father, that it's not hindered by the onslaught of the enemy. But what the enemy meant for harm, you're going to turn it around for their good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Encourage and strengthen them, Lord, beyond anything they could possibly imagine in the natural, supernatural strength. Oh, let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Oh, bubbling up and flowing over. Hallelujah. Do, Lord, in their midst a miracle. And Father, let your miracle power be a sign and a wonder to their children and their grandchildren. That, Lord, it's not in vain to serve you. That they're not moved by what happened in the natural, but they're moved by what you're doing in their midst. And what the enemy meant for harm, you're turning around. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for everybody here. You know what each one is facing. You know what each one is dealing with. You know what the bank accounts are saying. You know what the jobs are doing. You know some are without a job. Lord, you know what's going on in their midst. And right now, Lord, I thank you for a flow of the Spirit of God right now across this room. And that your Spirit and your power is more than enough for every circumstance and every situation in this room. And I thank you, Lord, that when we go out of this place, we go home victorious.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for my children. I thank you that they would come today and sit here to honor me. Wow. And Lord, I'm sure every time we come, you feel the way that I feel today when we come to you. And I thank you for that. We love you, Lord. Bless Christopher and Ashley and Stephanie. Do amazingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that they could ever ask, think, dream, or even hope for. Lord, in every room, every person in this room, I thank you, Father, for a miracle. Hallelujah. All it takes is just a breath from your mouth. That's all it takes, Lord. Just breathe our way. You are the air we breathe. Hallelujah. And I thank you for a breath of God for everybody here. Be blessed, Lord, as we leave this place. Lord, that we don't just come here and leave thinking we've done our church duty. But Lord, that this is the kickstart of our week. And what you've done in us today will carry through the rest of this week. And we'll come back next week rejoicing and proclaiming the goodness of our God and that which you've done in our midst. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.